Hi, and welcome to Story Selling. My name is Kurt Mortensen from the Persuasion Institute, and today we'll talk about one of the power tools that all great persuaders enjoy is the ability to tell stories, or what I call story selling. Stories draw your audience in, and they help an audience understand and appreciate your message. We can all think of a time when we were in an audience where we were not paying attention to the speaker. We were off in our own world when all of a sudden, we perked up and started to listen because the speaker had shifted to telling a story. If you stop to think about it, the best persuaders are the best storytellers. When we hear a story, we automatically tune in and want to know what happens next. Why do stories have this effect on us? Why are stories more engaging than facts, figures, and statistics? Let's find out why. One of my first sales jobs was in telemarketing. My office was in a typical telesales room with small stalls and a room full of high-energy closers. My mindset going into the job was, how hard can this be? I can talk to anyone on the phone. I thought, you know what? I'm a people person, and I'll have fantastic results. In the past, I had been told time and time again that I was a people person who could talk to anyone. I was quickly served a large piece of humble pie as I tried to sell products to customers over the phone. The way this room worked was simple. The phone would ring, and as you picked up your receiver, the operator would tell you a number. Each number represented a different product. We would sell real estate, weight loss, stock market advice, and other products. One day my phone rang, and I was tired of not getting the sale. This time, I was going to make it happen, I thought as I picked up the receiver. The operator told me a number, and I looked it up. Weight loss was my assigned product. I started the call. I was connecting well with the prospect. When I asked him about his target weight, for some reason there was a long pause. But he finally opened up and told me about his diets and why they hadn't worked and his frustration with his weight. Now I thought I was finally getting somewhere. After about 10 minutes of conversation, the prospect finally asked, "What does my weight loss have to do with real estate investing?" And I said at the spur of the moment, "Well, we want our investors to be healthy." I wasn't sure what to say. Sure, I could have told you that you need to know your audience before you try to persuade. I could have also told you that being in sales isn't the easiest profession. Instead, I told a story to capture your attention by spicing it up with a little humor. I was able to get my point across. So on the CD, I want to talk about those key elements that make story selling so effective. When you understand what those essential story selling components are and how to use them, you'll be able to influence and touch people's hearts with the messages you powerfully convey. The first and probably the most powerful element of a good story is that it should engage the emotions. Facts and figures alone are much less likely to strike a chord with your audience than they are when coupled with relevant, powerful stories. When an individual's emotions are engaged, she will be more inclined to connect to you and your message. The more common ground you can establish, the more sense of connectivity you can create, and the more attentive and receptive your prospects will be. Effective storytelling is a difference between communicating and convincing, presenting and persuading, lecturing and touching their hearts. A big part of whether or not your message is persuasive is whether or not the audience can believe in you. When you don't always have an opportunity to build rapport and trust with every individual in your audience on a one-on-one basis, stories can answer their questions about who you are, what you represent, and what you want from them. If you don't answer these questions for them, they will draw their own conclusions. Why take the chance that they might conclude incorrectly? Use story selling to build rapport with your prospects. Do you want them to view you as funny, honest, or down-to-earth? Identify the main points you want to get across and select your stories accordingly. Hearing your story might be as close as your prospect will ever get to a first-hand experience with you. Meaningful stories inspire listeners to reach the same conclusions you have reached. People value their own conclusions more highly than yours. So if you can make your story their story, you'll be that much more persuasive. Now you have to understand, human beings are drawn to anything that gives them answers. Use stories to help your audience answer some of their own questions. If you are successful in doing this, your message will grow and develop in your prospects' minds and hearts. If they remember nothing else about your presentation, your story and its underlying message will always get played over and over again in your listeners' minds. Positively engaging your prospect's emotion is one way in which story selling is especially effective when trying to make a point to an audience that might otherwise put up resistance. Stories are less prone to make others feel defensive or like you are critiquing or making demands of them. Instead of bluntly presenting your objections or differing opinions, bypass resistance and large egos by presenting your point of view in a non-threatening, even entertaining way. Often people staunchly defend their positions, not because they are so committed to those positions themselves, but more often because they simply must protect both their need to be right and their embarrassment of being wrong. Let me repeat that. Many people will staunchly defend their positions, not because they are so committed to their positions themselves, but more often because they simply must protect their need to be right and their embarrassment of being wrong. If you could avoid triggering this emotional defense mechanism, you will be amazed at how much more open your prospects are to considering your ideas. So during this CD, I want to guide you through the crucial steps of effective story selling. To be a successful persuader, you must know which types of stories to use and how to implement them. We will also explore different types of stories and their uses. Now, understand while selecting a story that is appropriate for any given circumstance, there are three fundamental questions you must ask yourself. Number one, does the story fit your audience? How does it support and underscore your main message? Number two, is it a story you love, have lived, or have learned from firsthand? These are key elements if you want your story to be as compelling as possible. Number three, can your story be related in a way that your audience will not only appreciate it, but also identify with it and be able to relive it? Remember that the more you can draw your audience into you and your message, the more you can connect and persuade them. Depending on the message you wish to convey, your story could take on any number of different tones or moods. So think about your message and let me go over a list of moods that could be instrumental in making your message more compelling. Humorous, contemplative, witty, disturbing, spiritual, fear, surprise, motivational. You're going to talk about teamwork. Is it going to be heartwarming? Is it going to be charitable, enlightened, inspirational, or maybe even scary? Now, after you've determined the mood that best supports your message, you should have many different kinds of stories to pick from. The best kind of story is a true story, one that is based on your own personal experience. If it's not your own personal story, try to have it be the story of someone you know. Outside of personal true life stories, there may be times when yet another kind of story is appropriate. In these cases, you'll have many different kinds of stories to choose from. Now consider these: folk tales, myths, fairy tales, oral traditions, heroic tales, love stories, could even be a ghost story, biblical story, historical accounts, or even a childhood adventure. Sometimes you have a pretty good idea of the type of story you want to use, but you're not sure where to come up with a good one. Again, remember to draw from your own first-hand experiences. These are the best resources. And here are a few things to jog your memory. It could be an embarrassing moment, your proudest moment, a sad moment. Of course, we can all come from stories from family vacations, growing up years, travel as a family business, year-by-year events, sports, dating, things that happen in a workplace with your boss, school days, hobbies, disappointments, heroes in your life, photographs, journals, diaries, a great place to go to get more information about things that have happened to you. What are your past victories, past defeats, maybe some of your failures, or things that have happened in your life about overcoming obstacles and challenges? And when drawing on experiences other than your own, you might try books, friends, internet, family, movies, and even observation of human nature. Once you've narrowed down the mood you wish to convey, the type of story you want to use, and where you want to get it from, you then have to begin focusing on how to most effectively tell your story. So let's explore how to tell these stories. Most people probably don't realize that there is technique behind effective story selling. Effective story selling is both an art and a science. So I want to spend some time and outline some of the key checkpoints for ensuring that a story is powerfully delivered. First, it is helpful to step back and take in the big picture. What exactly is your ultimate goal? Whatever your point is, you're going to have to really paint the picture for your audience. The more you can create the setting, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the feelings, the more your audience will be drawn in. Remember, you want the experience to become their experience, something they can readily identify with. As a persuader, you've got to take them there. As you prepare yourself, keep in mind all the ways in which you can really produce a mental and emotional imprint. You want your prospects to see your story in their mind's eyes, playing out like a movie. You want them to really take the story home, to have a place in their hearts for years to come. When you reach their hearts and involve their minds, you will be persuasive. After stepping back to allow the big picture to sink in, you're ready to begin crafting your story. In this first phase, it is important to walk yourself through all the basic questions. Who is my audience? What do I want them to take away from this experience? No matter how basic the questions may be, don't shortchange yourself from having a good brainstorm. You'd be amazed at the brilliant ideas that come once a chain of thoughts is set into motion. Ideas that would not have come if you hadn't broken from the routine and allowed yourself a good time out. We've already spoken about the great importance of engaging your audience as much as possible. One of the best ways to do this is to provide them with generous details. That is, make your story as vivid as possible. In the courtroom, lawyers make their stories so rich in sensory detail that the jury literally sees, hears, and feels the event. The more concrete and specific you are in your details, the more persuasive your story selling will be. Using specific details pulls your listeners into the story and makes the story seem real to them. Here's another twist on introducing as much detail as possible. Consider the different ways in which you can capture your audience's senses. Get them to see, hear, feel, and even taste and smell the elements of your story. The more involved your prospects feel, the more they will take the message home. When you tell a story, your body and your voice become the stage, the actors, the costumes, the music, and the props. For this reason, it is really important to take apart every element that contributes to the presentation as a whole and analyze it. The most obvious piece of story selling equipment, of course, is your voice. It is the most direct and apparent mode of communication. I'd like to talk about using the right words as well as how to use them. The right words are captivating, the wrong words are devastating. Effective words make things come to life, create energy, and are more persuasive. Contrarily, ineffective words dull and alienate. Numerous studies have shown that a common trait successful men and women share is the skilled use of language. Speakers who possess greater verbal skills are seen as more credible, competent, and convincing. Speakers who hesitate, use the wrong words, or lack fluency have less credibility and come across as weak and ineffective. If you want more additional details on verbal packaging, go to Maximum Influence and read the chapter on verbal packaging. As I previously mentioned, how we say the words we choose is just about as important as the words themselves. Our voice is a powerful instrument that can either motivate the troops or lull them to sleep. The next time you watch the news, notice how the anchors use their voices. News anchors are often trained to inflect their voices downward at the end of sentences because doing so suggests confidence and authority. On the other hand, upward inflections tend to imply lack of confidence or doubt. One research study showed that judges communicate their biases and attitudes via their tone of voice. Juries in California were twice as likely to convict trial defendants when the judges already knew the defendants had prior convictions. In spite of the law prohibiting judges from disclosing such information, jurors still detected the judge's leanings based on his voice's lack of warmth, patience, and tolerance. Another thing to consider when telling a persuasive story is the pace or tempo of your speech. Pace refers to how rapidly you speak. Obviously, you don't want to sound unnatural, but research has shown that people who speak faster, louder, and more fluently are perceived as more persuasive than those who do not. Stories that are delivered at a more upbeat pace are more persuasive than those that are delivered more slowly because the lively storyteller comes across as more competent and knowledgeable. You can slow down your speech occasionally for effect, but don't speak slowly all the time. Otherwise, your presentation will seem sluggish. It is much better to keep up the energy and enthusiasm than to let it drop. In most cultures, deeper voices for both men and women are generally interpreted as reflective of authority and strength. In addition, a deeper voice is stereotypically considered to be more believable and more indicative of an individual's sincerity and trustworthiness. For these reasons, listen to a recording of your own voice and determine whether or not it would benefit from being slightly lower in pitch. Even though it would require a vocal adjustment, a deeper pitch is something you have a conscious control over. Other reasons for introducing new pitches into your speaking pattern are to prevent your voice from sounding monotone and to create interest. Remember, if you're not an engaging speaker, you will not be persuasive. A huge thing to consider when telling a story is your voice's volume. Obviously, you're not going to be very persuasive if no one can hear you. At one time or another, you probably experienced the aggravation of straining and struggling to hear a speaker. Before your presentation, test the room to ensure that you can be heard in all locations. Also, test to see whether you're going to need amplification. If so, be sure the equipment is available and set up prior to the beginning of your presentation. The converse is true. Be sure you're not yelling or shouting at your audience. A loud voice is just as or even more aggravating for an audience as struggling to be able to hear a soft voice. When delivering a speech, clearly articulate every sentence, phrase, and word. When your speech is clear and coherent, it conveys competence. When your dictation gets sloppy, on the other hand, it suggests lack of education and laziness. Consider how lawyers, doctors, supervisors, lobbyists, and the like must be articulate if they are to professionally survive. Good articulation conveys competence, experience, and credibility. Another practical reason to have good dictation is simply because it is so much easier to follow than poorly articulated speech. People will be more likely to be won over by your message if you are easy to understand. Another issue we need to spend some time with is vocal fillers. Now, vocal fillers can destroy your presentation, hurt your credibility, and annoy your audience. Now, I know most people feel that they don't have a problem with fillers, but you would be amazed when you record yourself what words you use to fill in the space during a speech. Vocal fillers include the common you knows, and In addition to these, some people have their own way of filling the gaps between ideas. Some repeat the first two or three words of a sentence until their brain catches up and they decide what they're going to say next. Others constantly say things like okay and like. Fillers will never work to your advantage, and they need to be eliminated from all speech. This is another reason why you should record yourself and assess your vocal abilities. Besides words, pauses also add meaning and impact to your stories. The sound of a well-timed silence can be more powerful than a dozen words. Because of this technique's dramatic effect, however, it can be overdone. Don't use pausing too much. If you do, it will lose its effectiveness. Besides highlighting important points, pausing also increases comprehension. When you pause in your stories, your prospects have a moment of introspection which helps them mentally and emotionally participate in the moment. Whether it is a moment to reflect or to enjoy a good laugh, a lull in the conversation, in the story, allows your audience members to process your story on a deeper level. Silence amplifies all sensory and emotional details in your story. Use pauses to create attention, emphasis, and mood. It is a common mistake to not hold the pause long enough. Be sure you allow enough of a pause that the full effect will be felt. When you do this, the audience anticipates and listens closely to what you will say next. As they come to understand your pausing patterns, your audience can tell something important is about to happen. This strategy is made even more effective when you combine it with pitch strategies. Be sure that as you come to the pause, your pitch is high, thereby building suspense and giving momentum to what will follow. Inflecting your pitch downward will defeat the purpose, providing a feeling of resolution instead of suspense. Because of the many nuances that are conveyed through different uses of the voice, it is always a good idea to record your voice and listen to it. I keep reminding you of this. It's so important for you to do. What does your voice project? Do you sound compelling? Besides the message, observe the subtleties such as pitch, pace, volume, tone, and articulation. Effective use of vocal variety catches and holds others' attention. If you don't like how you sound, don't despair. It's a common phenomenon. Pinpoint the precise aspects of your voice you'd like to strengthen and take things one step at a time. A recorder may prove to be one of your best coaches. The thing that speaks most directly other than the voice is your body. When you speak, the words comprise less than 15% of what your listeners hear. Your audience also receives information from your face, your posture, your hands, your eye movements, your gestures, and your overall demeanor. Used well, these elements can give your story flow and add emphasis. If not used well, your body language can be very distracting and even cause you to lose credibility with your prospect. If you seem awkward or unsure of yourself, your audience will not receive your message as well. During a presentation, use gestures very carefully. Certainly, there's room for spontaneity, but as a general rule, plan your gestures out ahead of time. They have to fit the story you are telling and not seem awkward or thrown together. Now, you know, don't overdo it, but do use them to keep your audience's attention, to add drama to your story, and to underscore your key points. Think of your body as a prop that serves as a visual extension of the story you are telling with your voice. Above all, your gestures must come across very naturally. Don't be robotic in your presentations. As with your voice, it is always a good idea to video record your presentation in advance or to practice in front of a mirror. The nice thing about telling a story to a live audience is that you can always gauge their reactions and thereby determine how your message is going over. With the story, you can tell right away if your prospects are with you or if you're losing them. This gauging enables you to instantaneously adjust and adapt your presentation as necessary. If your audience is involved in your story, you are encouraged to keep doing what you're doing. If you're losing them, however, you can make a change and reharness their attention. How do you know you're losing your prospects' attention? Watch their faces. Are their eyes on you? Are they taking notes? What is the expression on their faces? Usually, it's easy to tell. If you're losing them, your story might be too long-winded. In that case, cut out many of the details. Also, try changing your voice by adjusting its volume, pace, or quality. Now, let's spend some time on the four essential phases of a great story. We've just talked about the story-selling techniques from preparation to its delivery, and so that's why I want to step back and review the structure, or what we call the framework, of a great story. There are four phases that are absolutely critical and essential to making your story cohesive, clear, and easy to follow. Okay, here's phase number one. This involves the setting and the characters. Your audience needs to have some sense of where and when the story is taking place. Did the story happen in the past, or is it occurring in the future? What era is it supposed to take place in? Where does the action take place? On a farm, in the workplace, on a fishing trip, or in a store? Immerse your audience within the story's context as much as possible so they can identify with it as much as possible. Remember, you must paint the picture for them. You need to take them into your story. With effective story selling, your audience is watching your movie in their mind. Also, take time to not only introduce your character, but also to really develop them. If your audience can't grasp who the characters are, their strengths and their faults, their dreams, and what makes them unique, then they won't be able to relate to your story. When they know the story's characters, they will appreciate your story's climax when it comes. That's because they'll have the necessary background information to draw from so they can connect with why the experience being conveyed would be significant to their particular character. Phase number two of a great story involves presenting a clear challenge or problem with which the characters must cope. Challenge generates interest and suspense. The audience is drawn in to wonder what the character is going to do about the dilemma. When presented with a challenge, it is instinctive for human beings to start guessing and project what they think the character will do, or better yet, what they themselves would do in the same situation. You've grabbed their mind, you've grabbed their attention. The more the challenge is a situation audience members can readily relate to, the more it will hit home. Why is this story-selling component so crucial? If there is no obstacle to overcome, no vision to fulfill, and no questions to be answered, then what's the point of telling the story in the first place? Conflict and tension create energy and give momentum to the story. The more engaged your audience is, the more eager they are to hear your story's outcome. Finally, effectively setting up the story's challenge will make the solution that much more powerful. In addition to making the story itself more powerful, the audience is able to reach a greater level of appreciation for and acceptance of your point. Create appropriate tensions when presenting the conflict so the impact of the solution is that much more inspiring. Okay, phase number three of a great story involves its climax, or what we call the turning point. The climax is the point where all the buildup has taken you. The momentum has driven you to this one peak point in the story. It is the cliffhanger. What will happen next? What is she going to do? How will he get out of this mess? By the time you arrive at your story's climax, you want your audience to be on the edge of their seats. It is important not to confuse this story-selling strategy with the preceding step. Even though the two effects overlap, the climax of the story is a distinct point rather than a chain of events. It is the pivotal make-it-or-break-it moment. It is the height to which all the momentum and action has led up to. This step in the story-selling process helps give your story form. Without it, your story will lack direction. Your audience will feel emotionally disturbed if all the activity rambles aimlessly with no climax and resulting conclusion. The climax is part of a clear path, and it feeds off the story's preceding action. Its culmination, followed by its solution, gives the story great flow and energy. And finally, the last step, your story must conclude with a resolution. If you've told an effective story, you've brought your audience through an emotional journey. They are now alert and attentive because they want to know how the characters they've identified so strongly with will fare after all they've been through. Your story's resolution is the moment where the lesson is learned. Will your audience grasp your message, the moral of your story? Did they experience what you wanted them to experience? Did they feel what you wanted them to feel? Don't skip any of these story phases. They work together synergistically to produce a story that is powerful, compelling, and inspiring. Often when you hear someone speak, we remember little of the discussion, yet the stories still remain with us. For this reason, you must embed your message, your main point, into a story. Deliver your message in a way that it will ring true and make a lasting imprint on your prospect's mind. Now, let me give you a few more pointers for story selling. Because we've already discussed some of the essential elements of great stories, engaging emotions, powerful word usage, proper voice inflection, effective body language, and clear structure, I'd now like to highlight just a few more key points beside those that have already been discussed to help you make your story selling the best it can be. Again, this is the power tool of persuaders, to tell compelling stories. One of these points is the powerful use of humor. Nothing disarms and invites an audience in more than humor. We are instantly drawn to people we think are funny. We enjoy listening to humorous individuals and hearing what they have to say. Humor grabs attention, creates rapport, and makes a message more memorable. It can also relieve tension, enhance relationships, and motivate people. If you have an important message to share, humor can give you a huge advantage. I love what the actor John Cleese said. He says, "If I can get you to laugh with me, you like me better, which makes you more open to my ideas. And if I can persuade you to laugh at a particular point I make, by laughing at it, you acknowledge its truth." Now, don't use humor just to get a laugh out of your prospects. In humor, there's so much potential for influence. Armed with humor, you can provide special insights or teach important principles. This is a skill you need to practice because with humor in your audience and your prospect, you have to understand they will either laugh with you or they will feel sorry for you. Humor must be used cautiously. If used properly, and when used properly, it will help your audience like you. If used ineffectively or inappropriately, it will be a great turnoff to them. The instant you irritate or offend your audience members, it's over. Nothing you say or do from that point forward will rectify the damage done. And a big piece of advice, be sure that you have good material before attempting to incorporate humor into your presentation. Also, cater your comedy to your audience. What would they find funny? What are some of the inside experiences they share that you could draw humor from? Use humor that will invoke chuckles and lightheartedness, but that is still built on truth. It is a very wise idea to test the comedic waters on family and friends to make sure your humor works. Another technique that is sometimes used in story selling is the installation of fear. As manipulative as it may sound, fear definitely motivates others when it is used properly. I would strongly caution against creating a false sense of fear, however. Doing so truly is manipulative, and by instilling false fear, you will lose your audience's long-term trust. Use fear only if the threat is real, and if it's in the best interest of your audience to be forewarned. For example, doctors sometimes have to be straightforward with patients about the impending worst-case scenario if they don't get in shape. It is scary to hear, but the patient truly needs this information to be brought to their attention. Again, be careful of fear. Only use fear that will motivate and move someone off the path of destruction. There are less dramatic but nevertheless fear-inspired examples. Fear incites us to buy life insurance, to floss our teeth, to buy cars with airbags, to install home security systems, and to purchase guns. Hopefully, fear will not be a persuasive tool you use with great frequency. But if you feel you can effectively use it to underscore a very important message, adhere to these following four guidelines. Number one, you must make your audience feel the anxiety and uneasiness that come from anticipating the possible even greater negative emotions, for example, pain, grief, loss, that will become imminent if the problem is not dealt with. Number two, your prospects must feel not only that the fearful event is likely to happen, but also that they could be victimized by its occurrence. In other words, they need to feel vulnerable that it could happen to them. Number three, you must provide a solution to the fear you instill. Give your prospects a recommended action to resolve the fear-inducing problem. And number four, your prospects must believe that they are capable of doing what is asked of them and that doing so will work for them. Some other key points in your story selling is the use of repetition. Repetition creates familiarity with your ideas, which in turn builds positive associations. Repetition also makes a message more memorable. You need to repeat your message several times so your audience understands precisely what you're talking about and what you want them to do. This doesn't mean you should sound like a broken record. You can repeat a message several times without saying the same thing over and over and over again. My motto has always been, when you repeat something, repackage how you say it. Each time you stress your point, use new evidence and new words and maybe even new examples. Obviously, this technique must be used skillfully. When repetition is overused, it is likely to result in diminishing returns. You know how you feel when someone tells you that same old story for the 10th time, or you've seen that commercial one too many times. If you've heard a story a million times before, you tune out and quit listening. Keep your point reinforcements to approximately 3 references and definitely no more than 5. A common mistake among storytellers is they become too long-winded. It's as though they're telling the story just because they love to hear themselves talk. Don't let your stories get too long. You're going to lull your audience to sleep. Even if you think you're really entertaining, too much of a good story is still draining. I have heard it said that a 2-minute story gives greater impact than a 10-minute one. If you think about it, if you were actually in an audience when the speaker talked for 10 whole minutes about the same thing, then those 10 minutes would probably feel like an eternity. Don't belabor the point if it can be said more concisely. This doesn't mean you should abandon the idea of giving your audience important details as we discussed earlier. Of course, you must engage your audience. Be sure you're aware of this fine line. To be an effective storyteller, it is so important to be tuned into your audience feedback. As you gain experience, you will get better and better at gauging your audience. You will then be more readily able to discern how you're coming across to your audience. You'll also develop a good sense of pacing and timing. Hand in hand with not being too long-winded is the piece of story selling advice. Don't bore your listeners. You may think these two concepts are the same thing, and they can be, but even a short story can be boring if it's not presented well. Respect your audience's time and commitment to being there to hear you and be sure you've done your homework ahead of time. Deliver a presentation you know your prospects are really going to love. Your audience is paying with either their time or their money. Give them your best effort in exchange for that payment. How else can you bore an audience? By not giving them enough detail, by indulging in self-glorification, by going off on too many tangents, or by lecturing to your audience. It's very important to take time to brainstorm your questions, your story, your presentation. When you can develop an outline, your presentations will remain uncluttered and you will avoid those dangerous detours. Story selling. You're grabbing their attention. They're listening. They're engaged. They're involved. Very important tool of great persuaders. When you follow my suggestions, it won't take long for you to become a very skilled storyteller. With these story selling tools under your belt, you'll have much more advantage when presenting your ideas, whether to a large audience or to a single person. And there is no better feeling than to get your point across in a manner in which is understood, appreciated, and persuasive.